Well, good evening. It's good to see you all this evening. My name is Sam Snyder. My wife, Mary Beth, sitting up here in the front. And then we have three children with us, but they're running around somewhere, hopefully on this property. And hopefully they didn't go across the street somewhere else. But I think they're with the other kids in junior church this evening. But we have Thomas, Leland, and Bethany. And so we're missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And so how many of you like to go grocery shopping? Raise your men. How many of you men like to go grocery shopping? Okay, I don't see very many hands, so if you did not raise your hand, you are a good candidate to be a missionary where we are in Papua New Guinea. We go out to the grocery store about three times a year, so 2 to 3 times a year. We fly into a small little grass airstrip, which you'll see on the video in just a minute, and then from there hike up 5 miles over the mountain to get to where we are, so we're pretty remote of where we are, but we're happy with what the Lord's called us to do. In our mission there, we have a church that's been established, and just recently been able to turn it over to a national pastor and working through him. So everything that we're trying to do, everything you see in the video, is we're trying to work with the people that are there to try to train them so that if something would happen to us, they can continue on with it. But if you have children, you'll understand how this goes sometimes. Whenever you give your child a job to do, and it's maybe the first time they've done that job, sometimes it can be very frustrating, isn't it? You're watching them, and it's a job that you could do very quickly and efficiently, but it just takes them a little bit longer because they're learning how to do it, right? And if we came in and just kind of did it for them, they would never learn exactly how to do it. And not that Papua New Guinea people are like children. They're not. They're very smart, very capable, but sometimes they have to be trained and taught, and that takes a little bit of time to be able to do that. And so we've been able to see God do great and amazing things. Our national pastor is doing a great job being able to reach people, and it's just been amazing to see that. So a lot of my work is we do a lot of work with the Bible Institute that we've started because if you talk to our guys, we say, you're not very remote. You're a couple hours from an airstrip. You can walk for days and days in Papua New Guinea and not see any kind of access point, any airstrip or any way to get out of there besides walking. And so they say, that's a remote location. Well, that's pretty difficult to live that way with a family. And so what we're trying to do is be able to train, teach people the Word of God, and watch the Word of God transform a life, bring up a leader, and send them out into some of these areas and be able to start churches and those things. So we're still involved in church planning there, but just trying to do it through general Bible education, training them in the Word of God so that they can go in some of these places and live there. And start different churches. And so that's what the Lord's laid on our heart to do. We also, in our mission there, we have a medical clinic, which you'll see that my wife has an involvement in. And so what we're looking for, if you have somebody that you might know of that's maybe in nursing that has just graduated and they're looking for a place to go, we're looking for people that come over for a year, work for a while, and then come back and do whatever they think the Lord wants them to do. And so we're working very hard on a few people here, but we're just waiting for the Lord to lead in that way. But we'll go ahead and we'll do show the video now so you can kind of see a picture of what it looks like and where we're at. And then I'll get up and share just a few things about it, and then we'll look into God's Word this evening. Sam and Mary Beth Snyder, and we've been serving God in the country of Papua New Guinea.
Hi, I'm TJ.
My name is Leland.
My name is Bethany.
After living in Kiribati for 3 years, helping to start Tarawa Baptist Church, we moved to Papua New Guinea in 2016.
Change is something that we all face,
but we can anchor our hope in the unchanging character of God and the unchanging truths of His Word. Even though our location has changed, our work of proclaiming the unchanging truths of God's Word remains the same. We've had the privilege of seeing God's Word change the lives of many through the following ministries.
Experience as a labor and delivery nurse, I've been utilizing that to help in perinatal areas in the clinic.
The clinic was founded in 2008 by John and Lena Allen, and although they've recently had to move elsewhere in PNG due to Lena's health, they continue to provide the medical supplies and help with the mission. Sarah Glover works as clinic manager. I've been the one on call for obstetric emergencies and been in charge of the Tuesday prenatal clinic. Some of my responsibilities include checking babies' positions, screening for high-risk complications, giving tetanus vaccines, checking hemoglobin levels, treating illnesses, and educating to prevent complications.
you see just a little bit of what our area looks like, what the Lord's called us to. The clinic that you saw on the video is a very good tool that the Lord has given to us. One is whenever they come in for the medical clinic, they're coming from days and days away of walking and to try to get some medical care. And when they come in, a lot of times they'll have to stay somewhere if they're going to be on medicine for several days or something. They're going to have to stay within a day's walk at least to the clinic so they can come back every day and get their medicine. And so they're, when they come through the clinic initially, every person is confronted with the gospel. But whenever they come and they're staying for several days or from a distance away, we'll get their name and where they're staying at. And a friend of mine and I will go. If you see the little short guy, you think I'm short, and he's a lot shorter than me. You can kind of tell how short the people are there. But him and I will go, and we'll say, hey, we saw that you were at the clinic. Just wondering how you're doing, how you're feeling. And they'll tell me, and then I'll say, hey, can we sit down and talk with you? And they'll say, yeah, come on in, sit down. They're very open because we've been able to share Christ's love with them already and reach out and help them with the physical need. And then they're more apt to sit down and listen to a spiritual need that they might have. And so we would sit down, and we would be able to share the gospel with them. But sadly, a lot of times, by the time they come to us, they're very, very sick. And so a lot of times, they even carry them to us sometimes. And so they're really kind of on death's doorstep. So it's very sad, but being able to share the gospel, maybe some of the last words they might hear. And also family has to bring them, and so they're all sitting there too. And so it's just a neat tool that God has given to us to be able to have an inroad to be able to share the gospel. And so it's some people will go and do mission work and hand out food and medicine, and it's good. But if that's it, it's not good because it's not sharing the gospel that will transform their life. And it has to be with that, or else it's not going to be accomplishing anything. Because medicine might be able to prolong a life, but it's not going to cure anything for a long period of time. And so being able to share Christ's love with them and the gospel message through medicine has been a great inroad as well. And so we appreciate your prayers for our ministry and also for your support for us to be able to be there. We are a missionary that you all support, and we're thankful for it. And so we'll be at the back at the end of the service. If you have a question or maybe something I didn't cover that you would like to know about, I'd love to sit down and answer some of your questions and those kind of things in the back. We also have some prayer cards, some updated prayer cards. If you could grab those and replace the old one and put it with the new one, we'd appreciate that. And you can remember to pray for us there in Papua New Guinea. So, well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. I'd like to start reading in verse number 1 and read down to verse number 9 of Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, 1, the Bible says, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Let's pray together this evening. Father, we come before you, needing you in our lives. Father, we need your working, and Father, we need you through your word, being filled with the Spirit. We need you to help us to be able to understand the truths of this text, that it can change our lives and mold us and to shape us into the people that you've designed us to be. And Father, we need your touch in our lives. Without you, as was mentioned already, we are but nothing. We are but dust. And Father, you are all powerful. And Father, you are the creator of the universe. And we come before you and we worship you and asking you to speak to our hearts and to mold us and to shape us to be what you want us to be. And Father, we are weak, but you are strong. And Father, help us tonight, each Christian in here, to be able to find our strength in you. And Father, I pray if there's some in here that has never put their faith and trust in you, I pray that they would trust in you tonight for their salvation. That you would strengthen them in that way. That you would convict them of their sin. And Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way. You know the spiritual needs here. And I pray that you would accomplish those needs tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go into a place like Papua New Guinea in this remote location and you land on this grass airstrip and you're doing it for the very first time and you get out of the plane and you're immediately confronted with people. They're all surrounding you wondering, who is this white guy that came so far to see us? And they're asking lots of questions and jittering and jattering, but you never know what they're saying because you don't understand their language yet. And you look at them, and as you saw in the video at the very beginning, and their dress and the way that they're acting and the things that they're doing are very strange at first to what you're used to. And you're wondering, where in the world am I and what am I doing here? But as you spend time with people there and you get to know them and you get to understand where they live and you get to understand about their family and you go to a funeral of Papua New Guinea, it's very, very interesting. And you understand that they're really not that much different than you and I. One thing that is a big stronghold in the life of a Papua New Guinean, especially in our area, is that they are bound in chains to fear. Fear of what the evil spirits might do to them. And we'll be out working, doing different things with different people, and we'll go in a certain place, and you would think if we would go from this point back to the back corner of this building, you think the straightest and the best way would be just to go straight across, right? Well, we would go somewhere like that, and they would go way out around, and I'd say, why don't we just cut straight through here? There's no rivers. It's ready to go. It's easy to go through there. Oh, we can't do that. I said, why can't you do that? Well, if we go through there, then the evil spirits will get us and harm our families. We can't do that. A lot of things that we get with the medical clinic, there's usually a sickness of the reason that they're there. They're having some kind of sickness that you and I can diagnose, and we can say, well, this certain medicine will cure this sickness. But in their mindset is, it's not a bacteria, it's not a sickness that got them. Somebody's working magic. Somebody's doing something to put a curse on them. And so what they'll do is go to a witch doctor to try to find out who's doing this curse so that they can go and fight this other person so that this curse can be reversed. Everything that they do is bound in what will the evil spirits do to me if I do something different than what my grandfather taught me and his grandfather taught him. And they're very fearful of it. And they're very religious to keeping the laws of their ancestors so that they don't disrupt this working of the evil spirits in their lives. But if you look at it, it's just fear-based. But then I was thinking about in our context, it looks strange to us, but really, sometimes we struggle with the same things, don't we? How many of you know exactly what's going to happen in your life tomorrow? Anybody? We have our schedules, we have our idea of what we want to see accomplished, and we might have to be at a certain place at a certain time tomorrow, but really, in reality, none of us know what's going to take place tomorrow. I could wake up tomorrow morning not feeling very well, go to the doctor and find out I have some kind of sickness that's life-threatening. You realize that our lives can change drastically in a matter of a second. One phone call can change our lives drastically. And for some of us, if we're not careful, what does that bring into our lives? Fear, right? Fear of what might happen. What might happen to my children? What might happen to my family? What might happen to my friends? And it can be sometimes scary to think about that and to realize that we're frail people and anything could happen. And if we're not careful, this fear can grip us and cripple us. But in the text this evening, Jesus is teaching us a lesson of a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. And I think it'd be beneficial for us to look into it this evening and see what the Word of God has to say about this healthy fear and unhealthy fear. But first, we have to go back and get a little bit of the context of what's happening here. If you were to go back a little bit into chapter 11, you would understand that Jesus is debating back and forth with the Pharisees. And he's saying, woe is the Pharisees on different matters because of the way that they're acting. And they're going back and forth. And the Pharisees are there trying to figure out, who is this man? And they're getting kind of angry at Jesus at this point. When Jesus first started his ministry and he began to go around and healing different people, boy, his name began to spread throughout the different regions, and people were excited of what's happening. Man, there's a man that's doing things that we've never seen done before. And they were coming from all over to hear and to see this man, Jesus, and bringing sick people to him, and all kinds of things were happening. But then Jesus started making statements. One that we know very well is, I and my Father are one. He began to say, I am equal with God the Father. And all of a sudden, the Pharisees said, whoa, wait a minute here. We've been worshiping this God all of our lives through our religion. There's not a man that can come in here and say, I am God. And so they began to put up these walls. They began to get angry at Jesus, and they began to follow him around and ask him questions and try to trick him and trap him into something that says they can point to his life and say, see, he's just a sinner like you and I. And so here in this text of chapter 12, we know that Jesus is debating back and forth with the Pharisees at the end of chapter 11. And then we get into chapter 12, and we know that there's a lot of people meeting together. The Bible says in verse number 1, there's so many people meeting together that they're stepping on top of each other. Now, that's kind of a chaotic scene, isn't it? Have you ever been in a big, large crowd where you're trying to get somewhere quickly and there's people pushing and shoving you, and it's kind of chaotic, isn't it? It's not a quiet room like we're in tonight where we can hear and think and those kind of things. It's kind of a chaotic thing. And so here we have Jesus, and he's in this talking back and forth with the Pharisees, and there's all these people gathering together to try to find out what's being said. And then Jesus turns his attention away from the Pharisees, and he begins to teach his disciples some lessons of what is happening in this context. So he's right in the middle of all this chaos, and he turns and he's teaching his disciples a few things. The first lesson is found in verse number 1, and he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That word beware there has a very strong word of watch out, pay attention. There's some danger ahead. You're familiar as you drive down the road, and maybe you're driving down a country road somewhere, and there's been lots of rain and maybe some storms, and they have these big yellow or orange signs saying, hey, the bridge is out ahead. And there's usually blinking and has reflectors all over. It's a big, bold sign to say, hey, there's danger a mile ahead, beware, right? You've seen those signs before? It's to warn us that there's something dangerous ahead. That's the idea of this word beware. It's to warn us of what might happen, the danger that we might be facing. He says, beware of the leaven. What is leaven? We know it as to be yeast, right? And whenever you make bread, you're mixing all the things together, making up the dough, and you put the yeast in, and what happens? Give it a little bit of time, it starts coming up, right? It's because the yeast is going in, and it's changing and controlling that dough. And Jesus is using that as an illustration, saying, hey, beware, there's something that's controlling the Pharisees. And it's not good. And he says, what is it? It's hypocrisy. We get that word hypocrisy from an old actor's term, where when they would act out a movie or a play of some sort in the olden days, they would pick up a mask and they would hold it over their face, and they would act out one part and put the mask down and pick up another mask and act out the part. It's before all the digital things that we have today. I don't know about you, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she turned her whole face into a monkey face. And it started move, the lips started moving and everything. Her whole face changed. It's one of those new fancy phones that can change your face into whatever animal you want it to be. And she began to laugh, and the monkey's face would turn laugh, and it was just another face. It was her and her voice, but it was another face. But it wasn't really her. It was a fake face, right? That's the idea of hypocrisy. Two-faced. Being one way in one location and then something completely different in another location. It's not being real. Jesus is calling his disciples to be real in their faith. He said, hey, we need to be real in our faith. These guys here, these Pharisees, and by the way, they're hearing all of this. These Pharisees are hypocrites. They're two-faced. They're not real. And he's calling his disciples to be real, and he's calling us today. Our faith needs to be real. If it's not real, we might as well close up these doors and go somewhere else. Why? Because verse number 2 tells us. Verse number 2 says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. He said, there's no reason for us to be two-faced, to try to cover things up, to try to be fake, because God knows everything. There's nothing that's hidden with God. No matter what we do, no matter where we go. And in verse number 3, it says, no matter how dark it is, or no matter how secret you think the place is, if you go into a room where there's no windows and you whisper into somebody's ear something that you don't want anybody else to know, the Bible says in verse number 3, that will be shouted from the housetops. When it comes to God, there's nothing that we can hide before God. Hypocrites are masters at hiding things from other people. But there is not one person on the face of this earth that is good enough to hide things from God, because you cannot hide anything from God. Everything that you do is completely exposed to an all-knowing God. We were eating dinner tonight, and little Gracie, I said something, I don't even know what I was saying. I was saying something to her, and she said, well, God knows everything. That's true, doesn't he? And that should help us. Whenever we're tempted to go against God's word, when we're tempted to go our own way, we realize that you and I are going to have to stand before the Creator of the universe and give an account of our lives, and we cannot hide anything from him. I don't know about you, but that helps me to reject that temptation and follow God's word, because I don't want to give an account to an all-knowing God and hang my head in shame. Because God knows everything. That's kind of the negative side. There's going to be a positive side here in just a moment of God's omniscience, is knowing everything. But that kind of helps us to steer away from the sin in our lives. And that could be very convicting to you tonight, because if you're trying to hide some kind of sin, you're not doing a good enough job before God. But let's go on to verse number 4. He says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. Here he's saying, hey, these guys here, these Pharisees, they can kill the body, but that's it. They can't kill the soul. And here he's saying, don't fear these guys. And no doubt he's side by side with these guys that want to kill him. He's saying, don't fear these guys that can kill the body, but fear whom? Fear him who has the power of life and death. Verse number 5 tells us, but I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So he's saying, don't be afraid in verse number 4. And then verse number 5, he says, fear him. So what is it? Well, there's a healthy fear and an unhealthy fear. The healthy fear is that we fear the one who's in control. We fear God. The unhealthy fear is something that comes into all of our lives, and it can take over our lives if we're not careful, and that is the fear of the circumstances of our lives. Fear of what might happen. Fear of the unknown. But Jesus is calling our attention here to his disciples. Don't fear the things around you. Don't fear your circumstances. Don't fear these guys that are ready to kill us, but fear him. The one that has the power to change the circumstances. We can fear the circumstances, but we can't change the circumstances. But God can. And he is all powerful to be able to do that. And we need to fear him. And he goes on in verse number 6 and gives us an illustration. And he says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Now, we don't know exactly if this is the same exact kind of sparrow that we have now today that we call sparrow, but we know that it's some kind of small little bird that doesn't cost very much, and it was a very common food for a person that didn't have a whole lot of money. And so everybody there would be aware of this sparrow that didn't cost very much, that they ate a lot of, probably. And so they would maybe even saw some there. I don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't say, but they would know about this sparrow. And Jesus is calling his attention to that sparrow, and he's saying, hey, look at this sparrow. I know everything about this sparrow. I know when it was flying. I know when it died. I know everything about this little sparrow. And then what does he say in the last part of verse number 7? He says, fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. He's saying, don't fear, because I know even the smallest little detail. I know the details of this little bird, and how much more valuable are you than this little sparrow. Sometimes when we're going through a trial and maybe we're going through something and we just don't really understand it, and we just feel like nobody knows and nobody cares about what we're feeling. Have you ever been there before? I think all of us, if we were honest, we could say yes to that. But that is a lie. Because there is somebody that cares. And there is somebody that knows. And he's saying, you are of more value than many sparrows. Then right in the middle of that illustration, he gives another illustration to illustrate the same point. He said, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, as I get older, that's getting easier and easier to do every year. But how many of you, before you came to church tonight, counted the hairs on your head? Anybody want to raise their hand? How many of you know how many hairs are on your head? Anybody? I don't know. I don't take the time to count the very hairs of our head. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, I know more about you than you know about yourself. And I care even about the smallest detail of your life that you don't even know about. How much more do I know and care for you when you're going through a trial? When you're going through a hard time? He knows, and he not only knows, he cares. You are more value than many sparrows, he says. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. Knowing that I have a Father that is looking after me, knowing that he can control the circumstances, knowing that he cares, knowing he can work in ways that only he can. But what's he call us to? Trust. Rest in him. Knowing that he knows what's best for us. That's sometimes hard to do. Easy to say, but hard to do. But what message do we have for the world? What hope does the people of Papua New Guinea that are living in bondage to this fear, what hope do we have? There's only one. We have a God who is holy beyond our comprehension, beyond words that can even describe it. We have us, sinful, wretched human beings. Big difference. But, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This God became a man, walked on this earth without sinning one time, went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, gave up his life. He was still in control of the situation. They didn't take it from him. He gave it to them. They took him down off the cross and put him in the tomb, and everybody thought, that's it. It's over with. Everybody go home. In our mind, that's final. In all the minds of the men at that time, the women at that time, that was final. Even the disciples were distraught because they thought it was final. But not with God. Because on the third day, he came victorious up out of that grave, giving us victory over death. Restoring a relationship that's been broken all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Now God has restored that relationship through the work of the cross. And we have a message of hope saying we do not have to fear because we have a God that will forgive you of your sin, and then he becomes your Father and he will guide you, he will lead you, he will never leave you, he will be with you and he will strengthen you, and you are of more value than many sparrows. That's exciting. Because no matter where you go in the world, even in Africa, Asia, wherever you go, it's the same thing. The same God. The same sinners. The same gospel message. And God is working. We have a message of hope, folks. We just can't trust ourselves. We trust him. We fear him who has the power to do these things. Are you glad for that tonight? Are you thankful for the grace of God tonight? I guarantee you, I wouldn't be standing here right now before you if it wasn't for the grace of God. We're just but mere men and women, but we serve a God that is more powerful than words can describe. What do we have to fear? So my question for you tonight, whom do you fear? Or you can say, what do you fear? Do you fear the circumstances? Do you fear what might happen? Or are you putting that trust and that respect and you're fearing God, the one that has the power to control these things? When we put our fear and our trust in the one, in God, who has the power to, over these circumstances, the fear of the circumstances starts to go down, doesn't it? The more we know about God and his character displayed in his word, the stronger we become, because we're resting, not in our own goodness, not in our own works, not in what we are, but we're resting in the character of God. And there's nothing better than that. There's nothing more sure than that. And I tell you, there's nothing more joyful than that. The world's going to tell you lies. Well, you just need this. You just need that. There's no joy found in the things of this world. True joy comes when we're strengthened by the grace of God. And we have this relationship with God that he strengthens us and uses us and molds us and makes us into what he wants us to be. We just need to trust him. We just need to rest in his character and his work. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. So we've got a work to do. What do? Well, it's not much work. It's just open our mouths and say, I have nothing good to offer, but I have a God that can help you in these situations. Somebody's going through a trial, you say, I don't know what to say, but I have a God that knows where you are. I have a God that cares. And you can know him through Jesus Christ. Nothing better than that. Let's pray together. In a moment, you ask some questions, but my question for you tonight is, whom do you fear? All of us sometimes fear the circumstances, but let's get our focus on God and who He is. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would use it in our hearts and lives tonight. In Jesus' name.